The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now, on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell live in studio, waiting to take your call on, you know, your health, things that are going on that you haven't had an opportunity to put the fire out on. You've tried, you've applied, you've done all kinds of things that just really haven't worked optimally. Well, here's an opportunity. Call me. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you and see if we can help you. You know what? We're coming up to that last couple weeks of the year. I mean, it's like, where did this year go? January 1, we all have this craziness that we want to do, you know, our New Year's resolutions. And I've always said that it's not about a resolution, it's about a commitment. What are you going to do to commit to yourself? That means, you know, making a decision, cutting off any other choices other than moving forward. And you need to start thinking about it now, not New Year's Eve, not New Year's Day, but you should have been thinking about it long, but now is a good time. And to begin to put the pieces together and really understand what you can do to increase your wellness quotient, to make yourself better than ever before. And I want you to know that the doctors at the Rozell Center for Healing are specialists in putting together health and wellness programs to take you into the direction that you deserve, that you need to be. And you go to our website. You're going to find a wealth of information there. Just go to RozellCare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E, RozellCare.com. And check it out and watch some of the videos and look at some of the data and some of the information. And you can always follow me on Facebook or Instagram and see all the articles that I publish on a very regular basis. Snippets here and snippets there. And, you know, they're very engaging. They're quick. Doesn't take a lot of your time. And just, you know, search my name and you'll find it, and we're good to go. But I want to get into a couple things today that are really, really important this time of the year. You know, we all sit back and nobody wants to get sick. Nobody wants to suffer the slings and arrows of fevers and cramping and diarrhea and vomiting and all those things that happen, you know, a lot, right? But more often this time of the year, and we're talked about the flu. And your doctor and Fifth Avenue Marketing and everybody's saying, go get the flu vaccine. Go get the shot. Protect yourself. Well, we're going to put a little light on the subject today. And I'm going to give you statistics, data. And, you know, if you want my opinion, call and ask me a question and we can go from there. But many of you know that you've had all kinds of medical intervention relative to, we'll say, pharmaceutical intervention relative to taking care of these potential problems, and you still get them anyway. Well, why is that? How come that the flu vaccine supposedly is something that's going to protect you from getting the flu, but seems apparently to fail miserably? So I'm going to give you some information. I'm going to tell you where you can find this data, but we're going to just kind of talk about the highlights first, and I'm going to get into the absolutes on this. So secondary infections such as pneumonia and other respiratory diseases, as well as sepsis, that's, you know, getting into your bloodstream, included in the influenza death statistics, quote unquote, by the way, and I'm quoting this, and account for a majority of the deaths attributed to influenza every year. That's crazy. Think about that just for a second. Secondary infections, such as pneumonia and other respiratory diseases, as well as sepsis, are included in influenza death statistics and account for the majority of deaths attributed to influenza every year. So we're not talking about the flu here. We're talking about other situations. Now, the United States Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the data have repeatedly demonstrated that the flu vaccine does not work for seniors. And we're going to get into specifics on that. And by the way, I'm quoting right now. This is not Dr. Tom Rozell giving you his opinion, although I'll give you my opinion as we go through the program. I want you to know something. the 2018 and 2019 flu vaccine against influenza A and influenza B viruses had an adjusted effectiveness rate of, you ready for this? Would you guess? What do you think? 12% for those over age 50. So if you're over 50, you still got about a 9 in 10 chances of getting the flu, even if you've had the flu vaccine. What's that all about when they're trying to get you down and get your vaccine? And, you know, I have patients come in, they said, well, I had my flu vaccine. And, well, the truth of it is, you know, here I am decades later, and I had one flu vaccine when I was 18 years old, going into college and didn't know the difference. But I want to give you data so you can help yourself and educate yourself. And I'm going to tell you where to go. And if you have a question, give me a call today at 888-630-9625. Remember, we do this for you. We give you the data that's important so you can weigh both sides of the subject and you can make a decision accordingly. There have been many studies that have also demonstrated that the flu vaccination, the influenza vaccination, has little or no impact on mortality among the elderly. That it doesn't affect whether you're going to live or die. Isn't that interesting? And yet that's a sales point. But this is a direct quote, and I'm going to give you the site to go to, you know, as we go on in the program. The flu vaccine is routinely recommended, by the way, for women who are pregnant during any trimester, whether it's the beginning and towards the end. Doesn't make any difference. Yet, and here's the problem, that the data, the evidence, the scientific data suggests it could be It could place their pregnancy at a very high risk. So if you're pregnant and you're going to go out and get the flu vaccine, you're putting yourself in a potential problem. There's a lot of research that was funded by the Centers for Disease and Control, and they found that there's an association between the flu vaccine during pregnancy and an eight times risk of miscarriage. Think about that. You're carrying a child and you want a healthy baby, you want a healthy delivery, and you go out because your doctor or whoever says you can have the flu vaccine no matter what, and now you just increased your risk of miscarrying that child 8 times over the normal. Now, injury following vaccination is now the most compensated claim. I mean, they've got to write the check, right? In the Federal Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. That's called VICP. Look it up. Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, VICP. Look at the, you know, so here's some other data. Between January of 2006 and December of 2017. So we got a whole bunch of years there, right? About 16 years. A total of 3,575 injury claims for flu vaccinations were actually filed. Now, when you look at the ones that were filed compared to the ones that didn't, because you didn't know what to do about it, I would guess that number exponentially goes through the ceiling. So when you're thinking about, well, I'm going to do this shot, it really has no consequence, think again. It's not okay just to be a lemming and follow, you know, the advertising on television. And sometimes, unfortunately, the good doctors that are out there haven't been informed and they haven't been told the truth. So they're functioning under spurious information and they pass on that spurious information as if it's absolute to you. No, it's not okay. So we got the flu season. It's on us right now, right? It's there. It's creeping up on us again. And, you know, they'll tell us all the way into April. And, you know, there are widespread calls, you know, across the board for everyone to get vaccinated. Across the board, everyone, no matter how young or how old. Despite the fact that every year the strategy turns out to have a horrible, an abysmal rate of being effective at all. Across the board. Now, one group that consistently turns out to draw the short end of the stick when it comes to influenza vaccine is the elderly. And we're talking about people 50 years of age and older. I don't know why they put 50-year-olds and above, but you know, I don't like, as the older I get, I hate that term anyway. So U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have data repeatedly demonstrating that the flu vaccine does not work for seniors. So why in God's name are they pushing this stuff? Well, I'm going to let your imagination kind of run rampant and realize that, you know, I tell doctors on an ongoing basis in multi-differentiating professions that if you want to know about something, look at the article and ask these questions. First of all, who wrote it? What's the integrity of the person that wrote the article? Two, what do they have to gain by writing the article? And three, who's the guy behind the scenes that stroked the check? When you can answer the last one, you can get a pretty good idea of where all this stuff is coming from. So, you know, let's dig into this a little bit. You know, so pregnant women, you know, should be very careful. We talked about that just a minute ago. And evaluate the risks and failures of influenza vaccine. The CDC recommends routine flu shots for women during any trimester. Doesn't make any difference when. I have a problem. Just, you know, it's called, this doesn't hit home, but I'm giving you data that supports that gut level with me. You know, there are many articles that are out there today. You can research them, and please research both sides of the problem, questioning the scientific basis for routine flu vaccinations. So here's my focus. Is the elderly and pregnant woman, as there's scientific evidence detailing the risks of flu vaccinations for both group? I don't know. You know, take a look around. I'm giving you data that if you research it, you'll find. You know, I want to remind you of a little known fact about the flu vaccine. And it's basically has to do with mortality estimates. Secondary infections, such as pneumonia and other respiratory diseases, we talked about sepsis a little while ago, are included in what we call the flu death statistic. And they account for the majority of deaths attributed to flu influenza every year, the majority of it. So what's sepsis, some of you might say? You know, what are we talking about? What is sepsis? Well, you can go into a health magazine article. It was published in 2018, and the symptoms of sepsis can actually mimic influenza symptoms with unbelievably freaking disastrous results. A strep infection progresses to sepsis, which presented as a flu, okay? So it gets in the system. And unfortunately, there's a case where amputation of the woman's arm and leg occurred because of sepsis. If you have a fever that doesn't go away, or your body temperature is abnormally low, you have signs of any type of infection, whether it's a cold or a urinary tract infection, things that just don't get better, you feel confused or in a lot of pain, go to your doctor and ask the question about sepsis and make sure that your doctor rules it out. Don't walk out of there. And if the doctor's unwilling to do it, then go to an emergency room and have them do the test. And if they're not willing to do the test because your insurance, there's no justification, tell them you'll pay for the damn thing. Get it done. It's important. We're talking about your life. You know, when I read these datas, you know, I go on and, you know, last year I talked about the flu vaccine and I said a little bit of something about, you know, you have a better chance of taking certain things, you know, to bring up your immune system even far greater. But unfortunately, there was some cannon fodder over that. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk to you about certain things. You need to know the truth. As long as I've got this little microphone sitting in front of me, you're going to get the truth, but I'm going to detail it. I'm going to tell you where you can find the data so you can go out and do it. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. That's how you find me here. We're going to talk about this and we're going to get into seasonal affective disorders as the program goes on. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. I am in studio, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Talking about the effectiveness of the flu vaccine. I'm giving you data from the CDC. Stuff that you need to know. And I'm going to tell you where you can find a lot of this information as the program goes on. Want to let you know about something. And would like to ask you for your help. The Rozell Center for Healing in Fairfax takes on several shelters, actually about four of them in the greater Northern Virginia area every year, and we support them throughout the year as well. And we try to raise money so we, children who have nothing, and we're talking about homeless shelters, we're talking about battered and abused women and children and so forth, and we try to make their holiday season a little brighter. And we do that through our foundation, Caring for Others. Caring for Others is a Virginia-based 501c3. And what we'd like you to do is go to our website, go to rosellecare.com. And if you scroll down just a little ways, you're going to see something on their latest news, and it says Caring for Others, and the logo for the organization is there. It says Caring for Others Limited Giving Free, Giving Tree, T-R-E-E, 219. And it says click here to donate. And you can click as much as you'd like, minimum. We, in our office, we have a tree, a Christmas tree with ornaments, and the ornaments are $25 to $50. And this goes directly to the children. There is nothing taken out by the organization whatsoever, not even a nickel. And we go and we get, gift certificates for them, and each child gets a $50 gift certificate, and we do that. And Rozelle Center for Healing goes in and matches much of this money as well. So go to rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com, rozellecare.com, and scroll down and hit and click and donate and help us help children this winter with a little something that they would have never had if it wasn't for you. Help us do that. I'd appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. Let's go to the phones. Mo, how can I help you, sir?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Can you hear me pretty well, sir?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
So I haven't had the flu since, like, 1988, so I wasn't sure if, because from what I understand, does your body build up an immunity to it? But I'm very careful about washing my hands. If I shake someone's hands, I don't touch doorknobs. If I wash my hands. I make sure I keep my hands away from my face if I do shake someone. So I'm very careful avoiding someone with a cough. So I do that. So I'm not sure if it's a combination of.
It probably is. Well, what you have also is that you build up immunological responses as you go through. But here's the situation. Let me give you some guidance. So you become immunologically more susceptible to all kinds of things. Now, remember something. The flu that you have right now, or that's out there right now, is around all the time. It's just the reason that in the wintertime people become more susceptible is because of the stresses to the body. So what are stresses? Hot and cold. We go inside, we go outside. You know, we get damp, we get chilled. We eat things from about Halloween all the way through New Year's Eve that we normally don't eat. Sugars decrease the white blood cell activity in the body. That's your immune protection. It drops it significantly every time you go out and get some sugar. The sunlight is not here. It doesn't stimulate as much vitamin D as it should. From about the middle of September to about the middle of April, it's negligible in this part of the world. So taking extra things like extra vitamin C, taking a little zinc, making sure you get some D, making sure you eliminate the sugars in the garbage in our diets will help increase your immunological responses. So there's a lot of things that we can do. I'm giving you the data of the other stuff. So the fact that you haven't gotten the flu in a lot of years is a great thing. You know, just take those other little suggestions I just gave you, add them to your repertoire, if you will. But, you know, if you Googled, you know, vitamins, nutrients that increase immune response, you're going to see things like, as I said, zinc, and you're going to see vitamin C, you're going to see echinacea, you're going to see elderberry.
Okay, and I do take those things that you're saying, but I was just wondering if, like I said, I haven't had it since 1988, but that's back when I was in college. I was running cross country.
Yep.
And we were running outside in shorts and tank tops. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it or what.
No, if you've taken a lot of those things, you've kept yourself in a really pretty good place, and which is excellent. Just keep doing it and stay away from the, you know, fast foods, sugars, fried foods, my mantra, sugar, sodas, coffee, black teas, fast food, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, additives, preservatives, GMO products. keep your body in the place that it was designed to be, and you'll end up in a much better place. Mo, thank you for calling. I hope that helps a little bit, but the short answer is you're doing some good things. Keep doing them. We're coming up to the halfway part of the program. We have several calls online. We're here at 888-630-9625. Give me a call. I'll take your call. Don't go away. I have more interesting data for you, effective data that you can use. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I am in studio, 888-630-9625. That's how you find me, right here, right now. And when we're not here, you can go to rozellecare.com and check it out. By the way, we're coming up, as I said earlier, to the end of the year, and you owe it to yourself to put together a health and wellness plan for 2020. The doctors at the Results Center for Healing can make that happen. And all you need to do is, by the way, we, you know, our in-house continuing education programs, those are for you. Check out the website. They're listed. They're ongoing. And, you know, one of our doctors, or our nutrition department can set up a program for you to maximize and optimize your ability to heal. It's important that we all have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you plan to fail. So make sure that you do everything you can possibly do to make that happen. I want to remind you again, please help us out with the children from the shelters that have nothing, and we want to give them a little something. Go to RozelleCare.com and help us through our foundation, Caring for Others, which is a Virginia-based 501c3. I want to go to the phones, and then I'm going to get into some very, very important information for you that you need to use. Liz, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Hi, Doctor. I've called before.
Oh, well, welcome again.
Thank you. I'm calling because specifically in reference to the flu vaccine.
Yes, ma'am.
I took my daughter in for her wellness physical. It was a very thorough physical because, you know, she's 13, getting ready to turn 14 in January. I did not agree with the flu vaccine. And the reason why I'm calling is because the pediatrician actually explained to me as far as it could lead to death. So she went into, you know, kind of the extreme portion of me refusing the vaccination.
Got it.
And that disturbed me.
As it should.
Both of my kids are extremely healthy. They've taken multivitamins since they were little people. They have a very healthy diet. They don't drink sodas. It's never been introduced.
So their immune system is much higher, much stronger than the average out there, which is an excellent situation for you.
Correct. And we don't do a bunch of fast food.
No.
We eat at home.
And that's
we have
that's
cooked
important.
Meals at home.
So let me give you some data, and not only you, and you, and as far as I'm concerned, my opinion, you're making the right choices. I broke it down earlier, and I said the overall effectiveness rate of the flu vaccine is 12%. So here's what it is. It's 29% actually for all ages. And for your daughter's age, children between 9 and 17 years of age, the flu vaccine effectiveness rate is 6%. And, you know, you get in adults 18 to 49, it's 25%, 12% for those over 50, 12% for those over 69. And then it drops just under 50% for children aged 6 months to 8 years. So the effectiveness, and then looking at the consequences, which your doctor, you know, was right. And you know, I applaud your doctor for giving you that data. That's absolutely impressive that your physician would go through to that end and give you all that information. So it's important to realize that when you get vaccinated, you know, few or no symptoms of infection, and you can still shed and transmit the influenza to others. That's a fact. And you'll see website after website that says because the inoculation, the vaccine that goes into you is a dead vaccine, it can't stimulate anything else. The nasal vaccine is an attenuated vaccine. That means it's not dead. And anytime you sneeze and so forth, you can pass that on. So in reality, after vaccination, you may actually become contagious and, you know, silent carrier of the disease. So a person with the flu who fully expresses symptoms of fever and body ache and cough and other signs of respiratory illness would, you know, generally would they be at home? You know, they're not going out, right? Unless, you know, they're initially. However, a vaccinated individual who is silently contagious, and this is coming, I'm reading from a website right now, right? They go to work, they go in the stores, they go into public areas, and, you know, they're unaware that they're actually spreading, you know, the flu. And this goes on for other other types of vaccinations as well. So there's article after article after article. And again, I will give you some data before the program's over. But, you know, let's roll it back a little bit. We'll go back to 2014. There was a paper that also revealed how priming your immune system with an influenza vaccine can make you more susceptible, and I'm quoting again, to infection from other viral and other bacterial pathogens. It's a phenomenon that they actually give a term to, and it's known as heterologous immunity. So now you become much more susceptible to other things. So it's craziness that they don't give that. Now, it's everybody's choice to do certain things based on what they think is right for themselves and for the family. But you need to do it based on what the actual facts are, not propaganda. And again, I am so delighted that your doctor took the opportunity to really tell you the truth about what's going on out there. You know, and we know that, you know, a cell-based flu vaccine, and that's what we call them, by the way, is no better. And they're trying to substitute this and say, well, it's not an egg vaccine because a lot of people are allergic to eggs and so forth. And they tout it as the new and improved flu shot. The, you know, the Flucilovax is what they call it. It's a cell-based rather than egg-based vaccine. And, you know, the researchers from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration found it protected just 26.5% of those over the age of 65. That's still 3/4 of the population that's not protected. So what have they done? It's like, let's get our immune system stronger so we don't, it goes beyond that. It's get the data and really look at it. And let's not play Russian roulette. I'm not telling anybody not to get the vaccines. I'm saying look at what it actually is and how it presents itself and make sure that you have all the information, all the statistics, and get that done. It's, you know, it's a crazy situation.
It's vitally important.
It is. It's incredibly important. Liz, I really appreciate your phone call. Thank you so very much. And I think, you know, tell your doctor, thank you for me. I'm impressed. That doesn't happen too often. I am very impressed that your doctor would actually give you all the information, you know, that is really needed to be given. But, you know, we talked about miscarriages with people, but, you know, the findings seem to be so contradictory. And, you know, the researchers have completed a second study, and this time they found no link between the flu vaccination and, you know, miscarriage. Well, again, remember what I said, who published the article, what did they have to gain by it, and who wrote the check? So, well, let's go to a quote. There's a guy by the name of Dr. Edward Bologia, and he's the head of the Center for Clinical Epidemiology and Population Health at Wisconsin's Marshall Field Clinic. In Stat News reads, he said, for women right now who are wondering if it's safe to get a vaccine in early pregnancy, we can say yes. And then that flies in the face of the information that I just gave you a little while ago, right? So you got to scroll down and find out who funded the study, number one. When you find out who funded the study, there might be a clue there that would suggest that somebody has something to gain because of that. So, you know, when this information is presented, I'd like to point out, you know, point out the obvious. In 2017, a study came out. Detractors were quick to point out that you can't draw conclusions based on a single study. Yet, you know, they're claiming to have unequivocal proven safety. One study. Based on a single study, really? So let me tell you, in my opinion, the issue is still so wide open, and you have to look at all the facts, look at the data, look at the percentages, and then make sure that you choose wisely based on the information. We are not stupid people, although Fifth Avenue Marketing would like to make us look stupid. And sometimes we become lemmings. We just kind of follow the crowd and do what we're told to do. And, you know, it's an unfortunate situation. It's not okay just to do it because somebody told us. It's important today in the light of that we have computers and we have all kinds of online information that's accessible to us in multiple areas. To just take one little snippet of something and believe it and own it is craziness, in my opinion. Find out both sides. Weigh the risks in every type of vaccination across the board. Look at the inserts in the flu vaccine, and you're going to find that there's been thousands and thousands of vaccine injury filings. This is not hyperbole. This is truth. This is real stuff. There's a website, if you go into it, it's called, and many of you know it, and is Mercola.com, and I've had the pleasure of knowing and respecting Joe Mercola. It's his website, and you can look up vaccines, and his data is very on spot. He's got 23 writers that research this information for him, and you really can't say it's wrong because the information is there, and study after study after study after study. There's a great video that he's posted on one of his webs, on if you Google and say vaccines, I will let you watch that, because after you get done watching, I think you're going to be more than just a little cranky. You're going to wonder, why have I been duped for so very long? You know, I encourage you to visit the website of the nonprofit charity as well, the National Vaccine Information Center. By the way, it's local. It's a real simple, www.nvic.org. That's nvic.org. And you're going to see all kinds of things, from vaccine requirements and state exemptions. There's NVIC Memorial for Vaccine Victims. Isn't that interesting, right? If you're going to vaccinate, what 8 questions do you need to ask specifically? And, you know, I'm going to cover that just in a couple of them in just a second. But here's the question straight across the board. Am I or my child sick right now? You know, have I or my child had a bad reaction to vaccination before? Your doctor should know this stuff. And you should know it, by the way. You know, and it goes on. So I'm going to let you do that research, but you need to know exactly, you know, what your risk levels are. You need to know how to protect yourself. You need to know how to bring up your immune system. If you have a sweet tooth and you're getting sugars all the time, or you're getting sodas, or you're getting carbohydrates that are refined, and you're not getting your vegetables in your body, you are at greater risk than anybody else out there. Why? Because you're not supporting your body in the way that it was needed to be supported to increase your immunological response. Your intestinal tract is 80% of your immune system. If you've got a bad gut, you've got a bad immune system. And you have to fix that. And you have to get somebody to straighten you out and put you on the road to better health. That's not okay. It's not okay just to sit there and take things for granted. It really is not okay. I'm going to leave the subject for right now, but I want you to make sure you do your homework. Please do your research, and don't do things just because somebody tells you to do it. Don't do it because I tell you. Don't do it because of anybody else. I want you to question. My whole axiom is don't believe anybody, including me. What my job is to provoke you to do your homework, to make sure that you're getting it done. And then, based on that, ask yourself the question, what can I do to increase my immunological reactions and supports naturally? So I have a better chance, regardless of what I decide to do, I have a better chance of making it. We know that in chiropractic care, people who have gotten ongoing supportive chiropractic care and balancing the nervous system over years don't get as sick as people who have never been to a chiropractor or been adjusted. Same thing with any type of interventional natural care like acupuncture and so forth. But it starts with diet. It starts with straightening things out. Do your homework. and you're welcome to come to any of our in-house classes. The reason we do that is to educate you and to give you as much data as we possibly can, give you information to take home. You go to RoselleCare.com, they're listed, and so forth. By the way, before we get on to a little bit, we're going to touch on seasonal affective disorders. I want to remind you that in January, we will be back on Sundays. And Sundays at high noon at 12 o'clock. Remember that we had a shift to Saturdays because of what? Redskins season, NFL. So we will be back at 12 o'clock on Sunday, midday, and you'll find us there. And by the way, all of our programs, every one that we do, are accessible. If you go to RoselleRadio.com, you'll find every program that we've done for decades that are sitting there, and check them out. They're by topic and by date. And if you can't find it, send us a note, and all of our doctors are happy to help you anytime that we possibly can. And please take advantage of that. Do whatever you possibly can to reach out and ask questions. We'll get back to you as best and as quickly as we possibly can. There's an interesting problem this time of the year, and we're talking about seasonal affective disorder and brain injury. Now, why did I choose both? Well, we know that SAD, seasonal affective disorder, is worse this time of the year, right? So we're not going to be able to get into deep conversation about this. But what I want you to understand is if you've ever had a trauma to your head, if you've ever had any kind of brain concussion, that your chances of suffering significantly from seasonal affective disorder rises dramatically. And you wonder why you feel, you know, and you never did as a kid, and now you do. Well, that could be part of the problem. And if it is, you can be helped. There's things that you can get done. But, you know, what do you need to know about seasonal affective disorder? And that's the piece. So, you know, people, you know, even when it's, you know, it's kind of a nice day outside, people are still feeling low this time of the year. Why? Remember what I just said earlier about the sun being on an angle and it really doesn't stimulate vitamin D? It doesn't stimulate other things as well. The number of daylight hours, even if they're great, are not enough. But you're overcompensating for something else that has been going on, and we can trace brain injury actually all the way back to birth, because so many people had birth trauma. They were forceps delivered, or they were breech delivered, and so forth. And 100% across the board? Of course not 100% across the board, but enough that it causes you to pay attention. So when we talk about the number of daylight hours this time of the year, we talk about, you know, the things that have taken place in bumps and blows and traumas and car accidents and things of that nature. And then something called our circadian rhythms that are really important, and the amount of ultraviolet light that our body needs to process vital minerals and nutrients and so forth, that we don't get it. These are critical things. There's a Journal of Affective Disorders, and there's tons of data there. We have to stop for a break, and we'll be right back after that. But don't go away. I want you to think about these things. I want you to do your own homework. I want you to do your own research. And I want you to plan on 2020 being a better year than you've ever had before. We'll be right back.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Roselle here. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Roselle live, as you do every Saturday for right now at 4 o'clock, actually for two more weeks. And then we're back on Sundays at high noon. As soon as the Redskins are done, we're back in our normal position. And we encourage you to tell everybody about this program. We try to bring you the most up-to-date, effective information for you to make your own decisions. That's the whole reason that we're here. I get to give you a different side of the story. I get to give you the truth in many cases that perhaps hasn't been related properly. You know, if you take doctors aside, and you ask them a question, and there's no harm, no foul. And you ask them the question, do you do this for your family? Do you get these vaccines for your family? You know, what's your real thought on this? And it's difficult to do that because everybody has consequences to what their commentaries are. But you need to do your homework, whether it's on vaccinations, flu vaccinations, or any other type of vaccinations. You need to do it on studies of injury. You need to do it on studies across the board. You know, I'm very pleased and happy to find out that the government came out and said that chiropractic care is one of the most effective means of getting people off of medications, drugs. You know, we have an unfortunate epidemic of people who are on very dangerous painkillers. And it's a wonderful situation when I can point to my original profession and say, we are responsible for getting people off of those things and back into life and getting them where they need to be. And you need to check that out too. You know, check out what the data is. See what it really means. You can go to the American Chiropractic Association website. Tons of information there. You go to RoselleCare.com. We have data there. Educate yourself. We're happy to do that and help you and direct that into an area that's usable for you and your family. Talking a little bit about SAD disorders, seasonal affective disorders. And I said to you just a moment ago that so much of seasonal affective disorders are a result in many cases of injury, trauma to the skull, to the brain. And those injuries can go back years ago from the time we were very young. You know, light affects our circadian rhythm in our body. And circadian rhythm is just a rhythm of hormonal activity and function and even neurological activity and function. And when we talk about ultraviolet rays and so forth, you know, they can also change how the body processes minerals and nutrients and so forth. Vitamin D is just one of the things that's affected when you don't get enough sunlight, direct sunlight. And as I said earlier, living in this part of the world, you get very little. And, you know, you have to make sure that those levels are up adequately to stimulate immunological reactions, cancer prevention, neurological integrity, immune responses on multiple levels. So when the days are darker, you'll see people experience even poor mental health, poor memory. They'll get anxious, they'll get angry, they'll react, they'll snap. So much of the things that are avoidable. You know, you'll see somebody that's feeling guilty all the time, or their motivation went out the door. Take a look at the time of the season, and then the next step is start asking the question, has this been the case your entire life? Is this something that started later on as an adult? You know, when was the first time you actually really noticed it? When was the very first time that you were aware of any of these types of things? And then when we see these depressions and anxiety patterns and so forth, these dysrhythmias, if you will, these depressive conditions, these pain patterns that don't go away, we often relate them to things that have happened traumatically, if you will, going back to birth. And that's kind of an interesting situation as well. You know, this program is one that I enjoy doing because it brings you more information that you need to use and apply to your health, your family. And we're here every Sunday, coming up in January, but every Saturday right now. I'll see you then, and remember one thing. I love you all.